got it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Wolverines will play in the Elite Eight.
He is Jawan Howard of the University of Michigan.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What is it like for you?
It's not because of me. It's them. I'm just so proud of our players and how they've been competing.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Coming up, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Plus, actor Joe Manganiello. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air on a busy Monday. If you're just joining us right now, you missed a lot. You go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, to see what you may have missed. You can also rewatch our show in its entirety on NBC Sports on Peacock when we re-air every single night. We're on every day between 12 and 3 Eastern. If you're listening to us on Sirius XM Channel 211 or on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network, you can also check everything out on Peacock, peacocktv.com. It is free. We are free. You are free to call us at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Joe Manganiello, the great Joe Manganiello, he's in a new film, Shoplifters of the World, available in theaters on demand and digital right now. Also, the old Snyder Cut. He's in the Snyder Cut, which I think if you start the Snyder Cut at the beginning of our show, there's still an hour and a half at the end of it, right?
It's long.
The old Justice League Snyder Cut, by the way.
It's very long.
There's that. Also, Daniel Jeremiah was on our program, my compadre from the NFL Network, one of the top draft analysts in all the land. He's my favorite, obviously, because he and I sit next to each other for the draft. And we're going to be in Cleveland, Ohio together. And it sure seems like the Friday stuff between the Niners and the Eagles and the Dolphins threw all the chess pieces up in the air, and we're beginning to see where they land. And helping us on that front is somebody whose MMQB is must read every single week, this week in particular, because it takes you behind the scenes of how the Niners and the Dolphins got together and then the Eagles got involved. Albert Breer, senior writer of the MMQB, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Albert?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing, Rich?
I am doing well. So this sounds like, based on your reporting, like a good old-fashioned NBA trade, although it wasn't just all announced at once, like a three-team or a Harden-Palooza got announced earlier in this regular season for the NBA. But it just does sound like the Dolphins needed to get that piece with the Eagles done before saying yes to the 49ers, correct?
Yeah, and that's what made it so sensitive. And I think it really took a lot of trust on the part of the three teams. You know, John Lynch pulling the strings in San Francisco, Chris Greer pulling the strings in Miami, and, of course, Howie Roseman in Philadelphia. Because I think, you know, for San Francisco to offer what they did, they wanted confidentiality because they didn't want, you know, to touch off, you know, a flurry of offers, you know, coming to the Dolphins, and the Dolphins respected that. And, you know, in exchange, the Niners gave the Dolphins time to go and seek out a partner to get the other part of the deal done. And so it's complicated in the NFL. There's a lot of moving pieces there. And the Dolphins didn't want to go that far back. I've got my suspicions on some reasons for that. I think in the end, really, it was about keeping the train on the tracks, you know, over the last 3 weeks. And, I think it's a good commentary on everybody involved that they were able to kind of keep this under their hats. The Eagles felt like Ja'Marr Chase probably goes fifth overall to the Bengals. And, you know, after that, they felt like, you know, what they'd be getting at six wasn't that different than what they'd be getting at 12. And this would allow them to get an extra first-round pick for next year when they're really going to be able to turn the page and get younger. Obviously, San Francisco goes in and now takes control of its destiny at quarterback. You know, and the Dolphins come out of all of this with more assets and still only having to move back three spots.
So, how safe is the assumption that the Niners contacted the Jets first and were told no thanks to the same deal or something maybe even more improved than what the Dolphins said yes to?
I'm told they didn't have any talks on the second overall pick, which is a fascinating piece to all of this. I can tell you that the Niners did have internal discussions on Sam Darnold. And there were discussions between the Jets and the Niners on Sam Darnold, but Really, there never was a discussion between the Jets and the Niners about the second overall pick. And my feeling on that is that the Niners, went through vetting the whole situation with Sam Darnold and came away with the idea that the Jets were going to stick there at two and take a quarterback. So I think they knew, just because of the sensitivity of everything, that if they were going to move forward with a big offer to move into the top five, they wanted to kind of keep that their intentions there quiet. And so, going around and checking with different teams on, what they'd be willing to do with their top five pick, that certainly could be a way of it getting out what they were doing. And again, it could kind of change the conditions in the market. I think so much of this for John Lynch and for Kyle Shanahan was to be able to move forward quietly on a deal that was going to be very complicated for everybody to get done.
No, I hear you, Albert Breer, but I mean, it just strikes me that if you're going to go to three, two is even the better spot because one is, an absolute pounding of sand. There's no question about that. So, that makes no sense that they wouldn't at least surmise, what the Jets would want for two. So are you saying that based on what people are telling you, there's a possibility Joe Douglas is watching the pro day with Zach Wilson, hearing the news, and then goes across the field to the 49ers at some point? What gives? I mean, you didn't even call us.
I it doesn't make a ton of sense to me either. I'm just telling you what my reporting is there, and I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Right. Logically, you would think, if you're the Niners, we know who the first pick's going to be, right? So maybe it's not even worth the phone call to Jacksonville. But, I'm with you that, logically, you can look at it and you can say, well, let's start at two and work down. You know what I mean? I think the Niners, because they'd had those discussions on Darnold, maybe felt like they had a better feel for it. You know what I mean? And so,
right.
There's photographic evidence. I know it was out there. I'm sure you saw it too. There was a picture of John Lynch standing there with Joe Douglas and Robert Sala and at Zach Wilson's pro day. So you would have to think that potentially came up, why didn't you make us an offer for two? And so I don't know what was said in that discussion, but, if I was Joe Douglas, I would certainly want to know if they hadn't reached out about the second pick, why they didn't reach out about the second pick.
Albert Breer, the MMQB senior NFL reporter here on the Rich Eisen Show. You have to check out what he's written about this that remarkable Friday in the NFL draft during Zach Wilson's pro day right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So the Jimmy G of it all, clearly if you're going at number three, as you pointed out in your piece and Daniel Jeremiah pointed out in the second hour, Mac Jones is more NFL ready just because of the program from which he comes and how long he was in it and how much reps he's got compared to Justin Fields, with all due respect to your alma mater, as well as, Trey Lance. That said, is Jimmy G going to be the guy, do you think? Or do you think this is one of those things where, we want the best possible offer for him after we get our quarterback third overall, and we want to make it seem like it's difficult to get him as opposed to everyone thinks he's going to be out there? What do you think?
I think two things could change the Jimmy G situation, okay? Either one, they wind up with an opportunity with another veteran quarterback somewhere that comes along over the next few weeks. And maybe that veteran quarterback's a little cheaper and allows them to move Jimmy G. Maybe that happens. That's a possibility. The other thing that could happen is somebody just blows them away and offers them a one or something crazy for Jimmy, right? So that's number two. But absent that, Rich, I think the best way, and I know I'm not the first one, I'm probably not the first person you've heard this from, the right comparison is the Chiefs in 2017. Like the Niners now, they've got the Chiefs had a coach and a general manager going into year five of their program. Like the Niners now, the Chiefs were looking at a group of quarterbacks in the draft that were pretty raw. Like the Niners now, the Chiefs had a roster that they felt like was ready to contend. And the veteran quarterback they had on their roster had 2 years left on his contract. So that allowed the Chiefs to play a year with Alex Smith, sit Patrick Mahomes, and then still turn around a year later after Alex played really well and trade him after the year. And so I think the way the Niners are looking at this right now is we've got a championship roster today, and we can come go in and compete for a Super Bowl today. And do we really want to put that in the hands of a rookie, or are we better off sitting the rookie, letting him learn behind Jimmy, and giving Jimmy a chance to reestablish who he is as a starter in the NFL? We wind up contending in 2021, and then everybody wins because Jimmy's got more value after the year, and we've gotten, you know, our young quarterback some time to develop, especially when you consider those three young quarterbacks you talked about. This is a pretty crazy number, set of numbers here, Rich. Mac Jones has 17 college starts. Trey Lance has 17 college starts. Justin Fields has 22 college starts.
There you go.
And so, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, remember when Kyle traded for Jimmy, who had been in the league for 3.5 years, he still waited a month to play him. You remember that?
Yep.
Like, didn't trust him for a full month before he put him on the field. This is a guy who was in his fourth year in the league. And so I think when you kind of look at, like, kind of where they are from a roster standpoint, how ready they believe they are to get back to contending for a Super Bowl, they can just get a little healthier, it makes sense why you could look at this and say, well, it's not worth it for them to move Jimmy Garoppolo for a three if they're going to expose themselves in that way where, you know, maybe in a month they get the rookie in the building and he's just not ready to play yet.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen Show. Where does Deshaun Watson figure into all of this? We all are reading about the sordid accusations that are being hurled in his direction, and the sheer volume of it makes all of us sit here and think, well, some of it's got to be true, right? Even though none of it may be true or all of it may be true, he's being caught in this tidal wave right now. But to me, I mean, this removes San Francisco off that board. If the Jets said no to this, or at least said, you know, we're trading Sam Darnold, maybe they're off this board. Did the Niners ever reach out? Because they, you know, the 3-1s and a 3 is exactly the construct one would say of a deal that might needed to be added to prior to everything going on with Watson's off the field stuff, to use the phrase.
Yeah.
What do you think here?
Well, everybody's gotten the same answer from Houston, which, you know, at least leading up to the legal situation, the answer teams calling the Texans got from Nick Caserio, the general manager there, was, you can ask me about anybody but the quarterback. You know, we're open to talk about anybody in the roster but the quarterback. So they've been definitive with other teams for most of the last few weeks, last couple months, that they, you know, aren't going to move Deshaun Watson. I also think it's really hard to have a take on this, you know, Rich, because at the legal situation, at least, because you're either A, indicting Deshaun Watson, which isn't fair, or you're B, not taking the, you know, accusation seriously enough if you have a strong take on it. So I think that's sort of put a lot of the teams in a position where they're sitting back and saying, well, we can't justify sending an enormous amount of draft capital to Houston to go and get this guy until we have clarity in the situation.
Right.
If you're Houston, you can't walk away from a 25-year-old franchise quarterback unless you're getting that in return. The one thing that's sort of interesting here, though, and I just kind of keep an eye on this, I think the Dolphins, you look at where they are right now, and their insistence on getting back up into the top 10, right? And their insistence on winding up with the 6th pick. And now they're sitting there with 6-18, and they've got a young quarterback they could deal. I just think it's interesting that, like, the Dolphins, who have been so good with their asset management over the last few years, and Chris Greer's done a fantastic job building up that war chest, you know, they have been, you know, in a lot of cases, if you look at it, a move-back team, right? Like in a, let's trade for future assets, let's find value. And in this case, they were like, we'll go back, but we don't want to go back that far. So you sort of wonder now, if Deshaun were to come available, would that 6th pick now be a better chip to deal than the 12th pick? And if you combine it with another first-round pick this year, it's just sort of interesting that way. So I think Miami, you know, could be in it. I think the Jets would kick tires on it, although they seem like they're pretty happy with what they saw in Zach Wilson. So not sure how they'd compare one against the other right now. I mean, it's interesting. And San Francisco, of course, because now they don't have the future assets, would be one of those teams where you'd look at them and say, okay, they're probably not going to be in the running for Deshaun.
Albert Breer here on the Rich Eisen
Show. And I also, by the way, I would not, the two teams that I would not discount on that that have obviously been involved from the start, I think, are Carolina and Denver. I think those two teams are, you know, they're just very involved in everything quarterback-wise this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, last one for you here, Albert, is, you know, the criticism, if you will, that I'm seeing about the Niners giving this all up for a player who's yet to play in the NFL is like, this is the deal that you could get a real deal, either 25-year-old Deshaun Watson or 32-year-old Russell Wilson for, even though I imagine San Francisco would be the last place on earth Seattle would ever deem to send Russell Wilson. And we've already talked about what might be an issue with Deshaun Watson. And you're always taking a look around the league at quarterback situations that could bubble up a year from now, and we're already talking about maybe in a draft or either one of these guys for next year. My last thing for you is about Aaron Rodgers, because when quarterbacks redo their contracts, that's not news to me. Everybody makes it seem like, well, that quarterback redid the contract. That means that they're cap strung and that the general manager's been burning the midnight oil and calling everybody desperately to get cap space. This is stuff that, you know, when they sign a contract, is essentially assumed this is going to happen. If not already verbally agreed to, we'll redo the contract at that point for the cap issue. The story usually is when a quarterback says no. I will not. And it appears that's the case with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, right? Like, so what is the there that is there, Albert, on that?
Well, you know, I think I've felt this way since the idea of him restructuring came up, that this could be an elegant solution, right? Like, that there is some tension, that Aaron Rodgers put some pressure on them, and that, you know, obviously they've got a young quarterback in their roster now that they like. Like, how do you solve that? And how do you please Aaron Rodgers without going completely overboard and, you know, abandoning the principles with which that franchise has been built? It's the same tree of personnel people that have built that franchise since the early 90s, you know, starting with Ron Wolf. And so, you know, there's a certain set of principles with which they operate. And, you know, so how do you not break your principles, but also, you know, work with your quarterback and trying to give him the best situation going forward in the twilight of his career? And I've felt like, you know, since the idea came up of restructuring, to me, like, an elegant solution would be going to Aaron and presenting him with a plan and saying, here's what we're going to do with the money we're going to clear up. And if we can clear out X amount of cap space, we normally don't mortgage contracts this way, but we understand this is a special situation. So if we clear, say, $20 million in cap space by restructuring your contract a little bit, maybe we get a little money in your pocket earlier, and then we're going to do X, Y, and Z. And we've talked to this team or this team about potential trades. You know, we're going to get you some more help. And I really think that could wind up being just a good conclusion for everybody, because I think a big part of what happened with Aaron and why he spoke out the way he spoke out was he looked around in that conference championship round and he saw how, you know, urgently the Bills have built around Josh Allen, bringing in Stephon Diggs, how urgently the Chiefs have acted around Patrick Mahomes while they had him on the rookie contract. And then, of course, you know, how the Buccaneers have built with just, I mean, I'd say built with abandon, right, over the last year around Tom Brady. And so I think that's really what Rodgers wants. And to me, like, you know, the way to find the end game here could be, all right, we're going to work with you on a restructure, and with the money we save, we're going to do X, Y, and Z, so you know that we're acting with some urgency because you don't know how many years you got left.
Albert, thanks for the time. Your piece is phenomenal again today that everyone should check out on the MMQB. And this interview went as I had hoped and expected, unlike a certain first round tournament contest. for some, not all, but just for some. So
I
appreciate it.
I'm engulfed in spring football coverage right now.
Oh, I know you are. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're locked in.
Hey, but I'll be the bigger man here. Good luck tomorrow night. How about
that? Don't make me show our text exchanges, Albert.
Those are private.
They are indeed. Thanks for the call, bud. You take care.
Thanks, Rich.
Albert Breer, everybody. Let's take a break. We'll be on time as best we can for Joe Manganiello. He's one of our favorites. Shoplifters of the World is his new film. He's also, as you know, in Justice League, the Snyder Cut. Seeing more of Joe Manganiello in that one.
Love it.
And, of course, here we go with the Steelers coming up.
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. I love this guy. I'm thrilled to be able to call him a friend, not just a friend of the program. He's in the new film Shoplifters of the World. He also plays Deathstroke in the Snyder Cut of Justice League. Also enjoyed him in True Blood and Magic Mike. And you could basically say he's as multifaceted as the 20-sided die he plays with in his his Dungeons & Dragons Club. He's Joe Manganiello. How are you, Joe? How's that for
how
an intro?
How are you, Rich?
I know you.
You know me very well, yeah.
I do. When's the last time you played Dungeons & Dragons? When's the last time a little D&D for you?
I haven't been playing lately. I've been swamped with work with launching these movies
Fantastic.
A week apart from each other, and then some other stuff that I'm filming, and then something else I'm working on. It's a writing deadline, so I've been
locked in.
Little over my head lately.
So Dungeons & Dragons is kind of like the Snyder Cut of games, right? Takes forever, and it's highly enjoyable, right? It lasts forever, is that what it is?
Yes. Except ours are like, yeah, it's like 4 hours a night at least. I mean, with my guys, they want to go till 2 a.m. So
come on,
it's like usually like 7 hours.
How are you? You good? Everything good in your world?
I'm doing good.
You know, Sounds like you're busy.
Busy. So just keeping busy and finding new ways to keep busy. I've been good. We've been all right over here. We miss seeing you and Susie.
Exactly. I feel the same way about you guys too. And congrats on the film. You know, I saw the review in the New York Times, and a buddy of mine who does a lot of our work around here. He gives us all this great arts and crafts, and he makes. Our coasters, and he makes a whole bunch of stuff for our CedarSpills.com friend Tom Person. He sent something for you and Sophia because he watched your movie. He loved it.
Oh, great.
He loved what you said. You hit Gene Simmons in the face or something like that. So,
yeah,
so
Gene had a real sense of humor. He was great. He allowed us to use his likeness on a mug that gets shot by a gun.
Shoplifters of the world.
Posters and things like that.
What's this movie about for those who don't know, Joe?
For people that don't know, there's an urban legend that in 1987, when the Smiths broke up, a young man was so distraught that he held up his local hair metal station at gunpoint and forced them to play nothing but Smiths records all night long to impress a girl he was in love with.
Wow.
Years later we made that movie. Actually, I think like the movie Airheads was inspired by this story,
right.
And so we're here to tell the story that was loosely inspired by those events. And it's also about a bunch of kids on the eve of when you leave high school, you're at that age. What am I going to do with my life? We're all going to leave our humdrum town, and it's about these kids and how much of an impact the Smiths had on them, and then this one night in their lives, this one eventful night in their lives that so happened to be the night that the Smiths broke up.
Do you remember the last cassette tape you bought, Joe Manganiello?
Oh, my God. The last cassette tape?
Yes.
Boy.
The last cassette tape
you bought. I mean, I remember I had all the old 80s Metallica albums. I had Appetite for Destruction. So it probably would have been somewhere in that age.
Okay. Did you have the tape deck in your car? Did you have that too?
Sure. And then I actually had the...
the tape that goes in that connects to a little CD disc man that you put under your seat.
Yeah.
Actually, one time I had the adapter for an 8-track that you would put in there, and then you put the cassette in the... TJ, you're looking at me like that actually existed, yes. Where it would pop up, you'd put the cassette in, it would fit in your 8-track slot of your dashboard.
That's I had the I one had. That had the record. You put the record in it, and it had a string that played an 8-track.
That's very strange. That's very strange, but oh my gosh. So what would the football version of this be that you hold up... you stopped, I guess, the selling of a sandwich at Primanti Brothers until Juju Smith-Schuster signs long-term, but you only got a one year out of it? Is that what's the football version of Shoppers around the World?
At the letting go of Steven Nelson's contract that I went downtown and held up Sammy's corned beef.
That's the Shoplifters of the World version of the Steelers offseason.
Until Mike Hilton came back like Tyson Alualu.
Joe Manganiello is pulling them all out right now. So, I mean, I got to tell you, Joe, I'm genuinely concerned about your team's 2021 season, even though Big Ben's decided to come back. That was I'm worried. I'm nervous for you that the Browns and the Ravens are – even the Ravens, it took them a few shots at getting a veteran receiver until Sammy Watkins said yes for 1 year, $5 million. But I'm concerned for your team. I'm not going to lie. What do you think?
Well, I think it is a very unusual year. So I think a couple of factors went into that. Number one, you've got a lot of the deferred pay for Ben Roethlisberger all of a sudden catching up. You know, it's like driving your station wagon around for 17 years, just throwing cups and wrappers into the back and then slamming on the brakes all of a sudden. So there was all of that money to be handled. And then on top of that, you have this COVID cap. So, you know, we're looking at $30 million less in a year that we also... The third factor is we had 24 free agents to sign, including, you know, half of the defensive starters. So, you know, it's an unusual year, and it really, honestly, unfortunately, comes down to money and what we can do with money. On a year where we had more money, we're keeping Bud Dupree. We might even get T.J. Watt, you know, or J.J. Watt. You know, it's such an odd year for us, and we're just doing the best that we can to keep our team together given the financial circumstances.
Got to get the running game. I mean, I mean, last year it was, you know, after 11-0, the whole free football world knew you weren't going to run it, and then when you're going to throw it, it's going to be somewhere in 10 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, and it just fell apart, you know what I'm saying, despite everybody's best intentions. And then when Bud Dupree goes down, I mean, my goodness.
Well, Bud, and don't forget Devin Bush also.
That's right.
Our linebacking core, those are two all-pro caliber players that go down in the middle of your defense that I think was a championship caliber defense up to that point. Mm-hmm. And like you're talking about the running game, you know, you need a running game to keep your defense off the field. You know, if you're going in there passing, you know, and you're three and out, you know, with a pass-heavy offense, you haven't taken any time off the clock, your defense hasn't rested, now they have to come right back out. That's going to catch up to you at the end of the games. And honestly, that was a formula that worked for the Steelers for so many years, which is why I think there's such heavy conversation right now about that 24th pick going towards a running back. And then, of course, who's going to be available? Obviously, if somebody's not available to our liking at that spot, then we're going to go offensive tackle. But, you know, given the nature of the draft over the past decade, you know, it's not uncommon for a really great running back to be available, you know, at the end of the first round.
All right, let's touch the third rail, even though it really isn't that. I might be overdramatic. But who do you want to be the next quarterback? What do you want them to do? Do you want them to draft one? You want them to... wait it out, make sure, see, you know, knock on the Jets door for Sam Darnold maybe during the draft. What do you as a Steeler fan, and what do you think Steelers fans as a whole want post Big Ben, since this looks like the swan song here?
Well, you know, you never want to say I want to lose so many games that I'm in position to get a hot quarterback. You know, and that actually was the deal the year that we got Ben. You know, we picked high in the draft. We usually don't pick high in the draft. We're usually competitive. So, you know, if we're going to draft one, that means we're going to have a bad season, and that means that we're going to be high enough to get one. So, you know, without that being said, I don't know. You know, sometimes you get lucky in later rounds. So I think the Steelers are a team that's going to draft their quarterback. Anybody that they bring in is just going to be a Band-Aid.
Yeah, it just seems to me Darnold would fit. I don't know. I just
really. I mean, as a Jets fan, you want us to get Sam Darnold?
I do, because I think he deserves it. I think he deserves it. I mean, The one thing that he's been missing, Joe, more than anything else, is consistency. Name me a more consistent organization than the team you root for.
That's
true.
You
know what I mean? Like, he's not gonna lose his coach, and he's not. I mean, I know Colbert does one-year deals, but you know, in the front office, they are who they are. You are who you are. You know what I'm saying? And that's the one thing he has not had was consistency at all. And I don't know. And he's tough. He's tough as nails. And clearly, though, the you know, New York and the Jets is not the spot for him. I mean,
what you're saying is you believe that he is an AP caliber student. We just need to get him to a different high school with better facilities.
I do think so. Yes, Joe. Okay. You know, and I think I'll drive him to the high school for you. If you're willing to cough up a first or a second for him, but that might be too high.
That might be too high. Would you take a third?
No, because I saw what you got for Minkah. It's what you gave up for Minkah Fitzpatrick, and he's been such a home run.
I know, but Sam Darnold. Like, we're talking Minkah versus. I mean, Minkah's like a perennial All-Pro.
I'm trying to talk you into it. I don't know. What if I give you the cloak of invisibility and you don't have any sort of issues with it?
Let me go talk to Kevin Colbert. I'll get back.
Okay, very good. When's the first time, Joe Manganiello here on the Rich Eisen Show? A few more minutes left with my buddy. When was the first time you saw the Snyder Cut?
First time I saw it was a few weeks ago. Okay. They sent me an advanced link, and I watched it in 4 hours straight with Sophia.
Of course. How cool must that have been for you, right? I mean, you must have really. What'd you think when you hit play on that, Joe? Because you know how many fans have been clamoring for it, you know, demanding it, saying it exists, wanting it to exist, hoping it exists, and now it exists. What was that like for somebody who was actually in it as Deathstroke?
Well, I'm really happy for Zach, number one, because I think it's really vindicating. I think that he got to go back and finish the movie the way he wanted to, and the result is you know, people are... The fans love it, and everyone agrees that it is, you know, I'm glad that he got to take his time and tell the story the way he wanted to. So I'm happy for him. You know, the thing about it is I technically wasn't a part of Justice League. That was their movie. Mm-hmm. I was just there to advertise my Batman movie. And then, you know, to my surprise, a few weeks before the movie came out theatrically, mm-hmm. The Joss Whedon version, they called me and said, you know, we reshot your scene to advertise a Justice League 2 instead of Batman because, you know, it's not happening. And so, you know, for me, I was, I'm a passenger, you know, on this ship and kind of involved by default. But when Zach called me up 4 years later and said, you know, how'd you like to put the suit back on? What do you think? Do you want to come and do this? I said, sure, yeah, of course. And that was Zach inviting me into his universe because otherwise, like I said, I mean, the actual scene that fans get to see at the end of the Snyder Cut is the restored scene, the way that we shot it advertising the Batman movie.
I mean, dude, your career, I mean, the names of your characters, right? First of all, your current film, Shoplifters of the World, your Full Metal Mickey.
Yeah.
Your Deathstroke in this film, the Snyder Cut. Your Big Dick Richie and Magic Mike. And
yeah.
If you notice, I laid in all three words on that one.
Yeah.
Obviously, Alcide Ervo from True Blood. I mean, my God, Flash Thompson. Dude, yeah. You're just Joe in real life. You know what I mean? This is pretty incredible. I mean, which one is the most you?
Big Dick Richie.
That's a great answer, Joe.
Now, let me tell you what. No,
it's the only answer.
Listen,
it's because your dancing skills. It's because your dancing skills.
That's the one. It's like, yeah. I mean, I'm like, look, it's a male stripper movie. Not really the way I planned my career to go.
Yes.
But how am I going to say no to playing Big Dick Richie? Like,
Soderbergh. For Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah, for Soderbergh. But, you know, look, I mean, it's Big Dick Richie. I mean, what are you going to do? You're say no? What are you, crazy?
I would say, what if there was something called a Soderbergh cut for Magic Mike, but every cut for Soderbergh is a Soderbergh cut, so you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, I had Steven, you know, Steven knows what he wants, so when he shoots, there's no fat on the meat. It's super lean, you know?
I saw Magic Mike, you're right.
You know, or he'll get everything in one take, and right. He's best friends with David Fincher, who's notorious for doing 78 takes. I remember asking Steven, how are you guys friends? How do you guys not just beat the heck out of each other, you know.
Right.
How can you, you know, stand each other if you're like it? He's like, no, we just, you know, we're friends. We just have very different ways of getting what we want. And that's the truth.
No doubt about it, man. Joe, thanks for the call. Best to your lovely wife. I'll send you these goods. I have no idea what my buddy Tom Person sent for you and your wife, but he's a big fan of yours and wanted me to tell you that it's on the way. I will make sure you get it. Hope you enjoy it. And let's chat again soon. Let's get together.
Yeah, and hopefully we can see each other soon.
I would love it. How's Bubbles the dog?
Bubbles is on my lap right now, taking her morning nap.
Okay. the entire conversation?
The whole time, man. She doesn't really like it when I'm on the phone. She wants me to get off and pay attention to her, you know, shut up so she can sleep.
Well, she's literally, what, 6 pounds?
She's 4.8.
What?
So she got fat in the pandemic, is what you're saying.
she put on the pandemic.
A little chihuahua.
0.8 ounces. Yeah, no, it's funny. I started like working out in the backyard. I set up some stuff so I can mix it up. And
okay, mix it.
I'll do squats with her on one shoulder, you know, and just stick up there and do some lunges around the house. Just switch shoulders with her.
There's a photograph. There's Bubbles looking through the door. Okay, so send my best to give her a little belly scratch.
I will.
And I hope I'm not making her jealous just by talking to you. So thanks for the call, Joe. Take care, brother. You bet. Everybody, check out. You bet. Same here. To Sophia, best shoplifters of the world, available in theaters on demand and digital now. Good stuff, Joe Manganiello.
Bubbles.
Okay. We saved the best for last. We buried the lead.
We did.
A very big piece of show news is going down today.
Oh, yeah.
And we will dive directly in it because on the line is untold amounts of cash and prizes. That's next. On this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. No. We're not going off a cliff. We're just going to commercial break right here on NBC Sports on Peacock and this Rich Eisen Show radio film.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
44204-RICH, number to dial. Let's go to our phone lines. Manny in El Paso, one of our favorites, been hanging out for a while. How you been, Manny?
Hello, gentlemen. The varsity team is back together. How are we doing?
It's pretty. Appreciate you welcoming us all together. What's going on in your mind, Manny?
Well, March Madness continues, and recently I was called a horrible person by my sister-in-law.
Oh, boy.
She called me this because I told her, I want all Texas teams out of the tourney. Houston, Baylor, I want them out. I want the title of the only Texas team to win a championship to be the 1966 Don Haskins-led Texas Western Miners. The last time they went dancing was in 1992 for the Sweet 16. They have nothing else to go on. Let them have this. The Miners have a better hockey team right now than the other programs. I mean, basketball and football, they're getting there. They're going to be better. They're going to be back. I know it.
Nice.
I mean, I root for the underdogs. Right, who doesn't want Oral to go on? Who doesn't enjoy Oral? Come on.
Maybe the Beavers
will ride off on the Wolverines.
Oh,
who knows?
Gosh.
It could happen.
Look at this. Manny's working blue today.
Yeah,
all right, Manny. Thanks for the call.
Gentlemen, right away.
Yes.
Let's all do our part in ending all this hatred, all this violence. Enough is enough. The only madness I want to hear about is March Madness. Have a good one, gentlemen.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Look, I mean, Glory Road will still be glorious if somebody from the state of Texas wins the NCAA tournament.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
I agree there.
You know, all these kids in Houston's got a good shot here. Baylor's got an excellent shot. They play some great defense, man. Are you rooting for Oregon State tonight because you don't want my son to win this tournament? Or what?
1,000%. You take...
If Houston wins tonight, a 10-year-old is winning the Rich Eisen Show tournament.
And that just shows you how much you need to know about college basketball to win a pool.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, you got Texas.
Salty. My 10-year-old knows a lot.
You got the state of Texas,
yes.
Los Angeles, Gonzaga, or the field for the title.
I'll take the field. That means my alma mater's in the mix. I'll take it. I'll take the field.
Just throwing it out there because there's two Texas teams.
I understand that. Two Los Angeles teams. I understand that. And then you throw Gonzaga in there. I'll take the field.
The field.
I'm going to put that up on Twitter right now.
I'll take the field. I'm definitely taking the field on that. So our first guest tomorrow is Drew Brees. We're excited to have Drew on. But before I get to talk to somebody named Drew, TJ Jefferson, come on down. Later on today, as soon as this show is over, TJ Jefferson, you are going to The Price is Right.
Yes, sir.
Where you have been selected to appear in the studio audience that is socially distanced, or are you definitely getting a spot on Contestants Row? How does it work in a pandemic, TJ Jefferson? I need to know because I want to help you. Help me help you.
So from what I understand, I went through a Zoom interview, which I told you guys last week. Then apparently to make it onto the show, you had to go through 6 different casting producers.
Damn.
So I made it that whole way through, and now...
It sounds like the NCAA tournament.
Right?
You got to win 6.
Wow.
So...
to cut down the nets. Do you get a chance to cut down the nets?
I get a chance. I have a 1 in 12 chance. Apparently, there are 12 people that all made it through, and we're all going to be there. Now, only nine people get called to come on down.
Well, because there's 4 to start.
Yeah.
And then there's 6 pricing games. Mm-hmm. So that means 6 other spots. So that means there's 3 plus 6. That's 9.
9, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So a few people won't make it.
So 3 people will not make it.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So you still have to go there.
Being one of those 3 would be brutal.
So we still have to go there and kind of give our final spiel to the last casting producer. They're the ones who, I guess, decide. So I'm in the building. I'm in the house.
You're in the house.
In there. So I got a chance.
Chris, you're our numbers guy. You're in the building. So what are the odds that he gets the... So it's 9 out of 12.
12, he's got a 75% chance.
So they're saying there's a chance. That's more than a dumb and dumb chance.
That's
okay.
Way more.
Here we go.
And I can't front, right? I'm going to be honest with you guys. I've been on TV a lot. Like, here every day, for instance.
Yeah.
I'm sitting at home last night, and I'm watching about 5 episodes of The Price is Right that I had DVR'd.
You're prepping a little bit.
Yeah.
Bro, I got mad nervous for some reason last night.
This is it. I don't get nervous about anything.
When you're in the audience for The Price is Right, the odds are infinitesimal for you to be called to come on down.
Yeah, there's like 200 people in the
studio. Half a percent.
Yeah. Now your odds are... greatly improved.
Yeah, I don't know if I hurt my odds by talking about it. I'm not sure yet.
It's not like Fight Club.
What's your outfit?
Yeah, what's your outfit?
I'm glad you asked.
Okay.
Could you hit just any Price is Right? No, hit the other one that you have.
No, this is where they're telling you what.
Okay. You'll see what I mean, Mike.
I can't believe it's not shirt. Better. You know, like that's what this music is. What do you got?
My man's got a Cliffhanger Pirates t-shirt.
Oh, my God. Okay. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are going to be called.
I'm hyped now, baby.
Come on.
Let's go.
You've got a Cliffhanger's t-shirt. You are going to be about it.
Now.
You better be.
Are you able to talk about this tomorrow?
No, he can't.
I'd say probably not.
No, he can't. He can't. Now, that's the part. Because this is going to be...
When does this air?
This airs a week from now.
It'll be longer than a week, though, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's down the road.
It's going to be down the road.
I mean, look, TJ, you don't play poker, so I assume you have no poker face. So you're going to come in tomorrow, and we're going to know what happened.
You will, bro. Because as all my friends know, I'm where secrets come to die. People tell me stuff.
He can't even say that he got down a contestant.
Yeah. I'm a little nervous even talking about it now, because what if they're watching right now? Because everybody watches the Rich Eisen show on Peacock.
Excuse me. If they're watching right now.
No, they're watching.
Let me handle this.
Oh, please.
There's one guy who needs to come on down. There's only one guy who can come on down later on today who, when the show airs, there's all sorts of promotional value. Come on down, TJ Jefferson. You will actually be at a benefit for being on the Rich Eisen show.
And actually, it won't be TJ.
Yes.
They're using my government name. I'm trying to talk them out of it. So it will be Temujin Jefferson, but they're going to butcher it. Like, George is going to butcher it when he calls me. Then Drew is going to butcher it when he tries to talk to me. But that's fine.
What? They can't go going off your driver's
license? I went 2006. They put your government name on it.
So he's Christopher? He's Michael? Yeah. I'm Richard?
You're Richard.
If I get to come on down?
What?
But that's fine.
Well, I guess, you know... you got to do that, I guess. Otherwise, you could basically say, I want to be known as He Hate Me. You know? Right. You can't go XFL on The Price is Right on TPIR. Right. You know what I mean?
What's your name?
He Hate Me. Come on down.
What's your name? The Baby. Nah, the Baby. See, we can't. Yeah. We're not going to
do that.
Can't do that.
Yeah,
can't do that. So, yeah.
All righty, then. So, are you up to speed on what normal, household goods cost? Do we need to take a quick stroll down like a frozen food aisle on the way over?
Like, what's a Kobani? I figure I didn't want to like over inundate myself too much. So it was just like, basically the only thing I've done for the last year, as you guys know, I don't do anything, but I go up to the grocery store and I hang out. So I got a lot of that. a lot of prices that I've seen, and did my research, looked up some cars. My boys, my friend's dad hit me up yesterday with a tweet and asked me how much would a refrigerator cost with a, and he broke it all down and I was like $22.50.
Okay.
So, I did get a little stressed last night it was the weirdest feeling. I'm like, what is wrong with me?
Dude. And then how's your right arm doing for the spin?
Oh, I've been loosening up.
Okay.
Man. I'm ready.
Cause we're going to get one spin. By the way, hold on a second. What's the over under on a second spin?
Ooh.
All right, so you 60 cents, you got to stay, right? 60 cents 60, on the first spin?
60 cents.
Or you got to go again?
I like a 70.
Anything over 70.
70, you stay. 70 yeah. or yeah. over, you stay.
70 or okay. over, you
on
stay.
On the first spin, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, here's a question I have for you guys.
You want to go last on the spin, too.
Yeah, that means you got to win big.
Because
you
want to win a pricing game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's a question, right? Because I've been wondering about this. When I make it up to the wheel, because I'm making it up to the wheel.
We're making it up to the wheel.
If you take it out of contestant's row, you get up to the wheel.
Yeah, so
you
get it spin. When I grab that wheel for the first time, do I try to show how big my muscles are?
Yes.
Or do I try to just be very smart about it and make that mug just go?
No.
Let me ask you this question just to bring it all full circle. Yeah. Do you want to be known as the sexiest man alive or the sexiest bald man alive?
Probably the sexiest man alive.
Yes. Spin that wheel.
Let's go.
Spin that thing.
I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm hyped because I'm in.
Come on, TJ. Make us proud.
He's well done. Keep it going to play us out. I want to thank Daniel Jeremiah, Albert Breer, and Joe Manganiello to be on this very cliffhanger edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Drew Brees, Dennis Leary tomorrow, and TJ Jefferson. Come on down.
Come
You're
on.
Gonna hear that today.
Let's go.
Everybody, Drew, Elite Eight tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We're back on Peacock in a second.